You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1500WWBC.com, you can get us on our Listen Live button. And you can get us on any one of your listening devices. And then, of course, we archive all of the shows there every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. You can find us there to download all of the shows. And then, of course, after the show, we post it on all of our social media and our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com. And we're on that average kick again between 17,500 and 19,000 downloads a week.
Isn't that awesome?
It's fantastic. That's, so thank you to all the listeners out there who are subscribing and downloading the shows and making community radio great, right? It's awesome.
That's what it is. And so for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for the first time, that was Ellen O'Neill, my co-host, who's been with the show for 15 years. And then we have Allie Tambra that comes in and sits with us. She's a good friend of Ellen's and mine, and we kind of feel like she's a resident of the show at this point. Danny Whiting is running our board. And what a great show we have planned today. As you know, our guests, the people that choose to be part of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, they share with us their platform, whether it is about financial literacy, whether it is about volunteering in the community, opening a nonprofit. Some folks talk about their books that they have written. Some folks want to write a book. A lot of people want to talk about clean air and sunshine. Some want to run for office. Some are in office. And whatever it is, we give you a platform to talk about those things. And today's no different, of course. As you know, I market the show a lot, thanks to my husband, who lets me give up time with the family. And I met a wonderful physician, Dr. Aisha Thomas, and she's going to be calling in the second segment. She is a medical doctor who is also an internist, and she is what you call a transformative healthcare advocate. She's certified with the American Board of Internal Medicine, as well as she's an author of the book, The Libra Lifestyle. It's all about health and wellness, and we'll talk to her the second segment. The first segment, we have a recurring friend, a guest, Mr. Drew Warren, and his name, of course, is very easy to say. As you know, sometimes we have names that we can't.
Sometimes there
and
are
he
a little
is,
more.
Yeah, and Drew is the executive director of the Community of Hope. And, freedom of speech does come with a responsibility. And of lately, a lot of us have been asked to give our opinion on what's going on in our world, in our cities, in the United States, and you have to be very careful how you say things. And so, as I walked in this morning, all I could think about is how can us human beings who actually care about humanity, care about leaving a good footprint behind, how do we move forward with peace and love and grace? And when you think about people like that, Drew Warren comes to mind, because that's what he does with Community of Hope. He gives people a hope here in Brevard, and you could set aside all the noise and concentrate on what's going on in our community. And our show is a community show. Our radio station is a community radio station. And so it's good to be able to bring shows of this quality and people of his caliber on our show today. So, Drew, thank you so much for being part of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, and talk to us a little bit about how you got involved with this wonderful nonprofit.
Well, gladly, but first, just thank you so much, Sita and Friends,
for having me here. To your point, I don't think community is a political conversation. I don't think politics is really part of the community. We can all have different opinions and political perspectives and still come together and love one another and make the community a better place for everybody. So
yes.
Thank you for being part of the solution. I appreciate that.
Yeah, because you know, when you wake up every day, just the mere simple fact that you can breathe, you can walk, you can have a conversation with people, you can think, it's all a blessing, right? And what do you do with these gifts that God gave you? I mean, you really have to move forward in peace. And it really warms my heart when we have shows like with Community of Hope or other faith-based nonprofits that come on the show, because they keep us grounded. So tell us a little bit about the mission of the Community of Hope.
Yeah, so Community of Hope has been serving homeless families since 2004. Our goal is to meet the families where they are, help them recognize the reasons that they're experiencing homelessness, and help them overcome it. And so by meeting them where they are, we're not in judgment of you know, what's happening in their life. We're just helping them to see, you know, here's where you're at, here are different directions. So we have, over the years, we started with just transitional housing and just one house. And then over the years, we've increased our options to now we have a shelter option for families. We have transitional housing. We have permanent housing. And we have housing that we do in conjunction with private landlords. So between all the different things that we did last year, we served over 450 households.
Wow.
That's like over 1,300 people altogether that Community of Hope was able to serve by expanding the types of programs, meeting the people where they are, and realizing that it's like an ecosystem here in Brevard County. There are a lot of different agencies and a lot of people who really need to work together in order to really solve the problems.
Right. And you know, the thing is, you guys offer a lot of programs. It's not like you say to people, come on in and stay at this level. You offer programs and you offer them a way out. You give them a hand up. So talk to us about some of the programs at Community of Hope.
Yeah, so like I said, the first thing we started doing was transitional housing, and that grew from a group of churches that were all experiencing homeless people coming to their church, families that were being ripped apart by the homeless services system, where the father would have to go to one shelter, a mother to another shelter, the kids could either go with the father or the mother, depending on the gender. But if a child, a 14-year-old boy, could not go to a women's shelter. So there was so much of that that the churches said the way to solve this is to have transitional homes where these folks can go and be together. And so the churches really got together and started that. And then we've grown it since. But now we recognize that some of those families, our goal has always been for families to kind of pull themselves up, a hand up, helping them to do that and to accomplish that. But there are families who are, for no fault of their own, going to always need supportive services and supportive housing. It may be that there's a struggle, that with mental health or some other developmental issues for the parent, but it could also be developmental issues for the children, where there's just not the parent's job is to take care of that child, and the opportunity for them to kind of take that next step up in their career and improve their status really is hindered by the fact that they really need to focus on their kids. So we started with this transitional, then we ended up doing the permanent. And then we realized that there's a real need for shelter in the area for helping people kind of get immediately off the street when there's no transitional or longer term opportunity available. And then just in the last 2 years, we've taken the next step, and that is to offer home ownership. So we now...
That deserves a clap because
Thank you.
Applause, right?
Because so many people get stuck in rental housing, and because they're paying so much of their income, oftentimes more than 50% of their income going to rent, there's no opportunity for them to get into home ownership and start building equity and start building generational wealth. So by offering what's called a community land trust, we offer a way for people to get out of the rental market and into home ownership. Build some equity and kind of get to the next phase of their life.
And I would think you partner with somebody for that, with builders in the community or private homeowners.
So we do partner with the cities who often have land. For example, City of Titusville just gave us land for what's going to be our five houses in City of Titusville for home ownership. We also partner with other organizations for doing the housing aspects, to getting the referrals into those houses. But we have some great contractors. I will tell you, they aren't doing this for free. We have to find a way to pay them, but they're phenomenal. Brevard Construction Company has been great on the six new units we're building in Titusville for rental. And we just built a house with Coastal Homes in City of Melbourne. Brand new house. It's the nicest house on the street, and it's serving a family with some physical issues and that kind of thing. So it's all ADA compliant and has all the adaptable things that they need.
Yeah, and it's good because, you know, the community of hope for homeless families. That's how it started. When people who were concerned and compassionate and had empathy decided that, hey, you know, everybody needs help. Children need help. Families need help, right? And how do you get the referrals? Because from what we understand, they still do the point count here in Brevard. And, of course, a lot of people get lost in that. But how do you know who to take in and who to help with these houses and all that?
So that's a good question, and I think the Brevard Homeless Coalition does a phenomenal job at identifying and helping through what's called coordinated entry for folks who are experiencing what is called what HUD would consider homelessness, which is living outside or living in a place not meant for human habitation. But there are a lot of folks who fall in the cracks. And so most of our referrals come through the Homeless Coalition, but there are programs that we have as well for people who are living in hotels who the HUD would not consider that homelessness, but a family who lives in a hotel because there's no other choice, isn't choosing to be in a hotel that puts them at risk, puts their children at risk, does not allow them to build up any kind of ability to move into an apartment. They're doing that as a last ditch effort. And families will usually find, will often find a way to spend, some of their nights every month. You know, they may be in a car part of the time. They may be in a hotel part of the time. A grandparent may pay for the hotel. But usually there's a way that the community comes together to make sure that that parent comes to find a way to make sure there's a safer place in the car for their kids. But there's no way out. There's no way out.
Yeah, I actually met a family, a mom and her son that were living in an extended care hotel. And that's exactly what they said. They were there for 2 years. And they were trying to save up their first, last, and security. Mm-hmm. But the kid worked for a local restaurant. And by the time they paid the $100-something per night, and imagine a grown man in his 40s sharing a room with his mom. And he said, I wish for the day when I could have my own room. We don't think about that as we go about our daily lives.
Some of the people that went from having a home and then went into this situation then pay for storage, and because they don't want to get rid of their stuff with the anticipation that they're going to get back in. And so they start making bad financial decisions about how are they going to keep the things that they most treasure. Because now you're really into the emotional things. Imagine, you know, your wedding pictures, all the things that you got, and then all of a sudden you wind up with this homeless situation, and you don't want to lose your things either.
Right.
So every year, HUD nationwide counts the number of homeless on a particular night. That's what you're referring to as the point in time count. And HUD in Brevard, HUD's arm in Brevard County is the Homeless Coalition, as the lead agency of what's called the Continuum of Care, which is all of the agencies involved in homelessness. They counted, I don't have the numbers in front of me, somewhere 1,100 or 1,200 homeless people during that time this year. That is always a huge undercount. I think if you want a good estimate of how many people are struggling with staying housed, look at the number of storage units being built. You're mentioning storage units, and that really is a symptom of homelessness. Mm-hmm. Because the reason people have the storage units is because they have no home to put the stuff in.
And they're hoping, and right now, to get a place.
Yep. There's a six-month waiting list for most storage places.
Yeah.
Right now. You think about, oh, there's all the storage out there. I went for a friend to go check one out, 6 month waiting list. And they said everywhere in town is the same thing. So again, your symptom is right on target.
Right. So for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking with Mr. Drew Warren, who is a good friend of our show, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And he's also the executive director of Community of Hope, which is Community of Hope was incorporated as Florida's nonprofit 501c charitable organization to provide transitional housing for homeless families right here in Brevard County, Florida. So how is the Community of Hope supported? How are you funded to help all these people? I mean, you guys helped over 450 families last year.
So we are really blessed to have churches that support our mission, individuals that support our mission. Every member of the original nine churches that were involved in forming Community of Hope still have, those congregations still have a representative on the board. Now we have, you know, other folks on the board besides those church representatives. But the faith community has been huge in supporting Community of Hope, and both from the congregational standpoint and just individuals who have a lot of faith and want to do something to help ensure that no child has to be homeless, that the most vulnerable of the homeless really do get help out of the situation.
And it makes people feel good, too, when you realize there's a need in the community for something and you're able to say, you know what, I can help. They find life with purpose, right? But what are some of the factors that you see that has increased homelessness in Brevard? Because I see, as a human being, when we say make our country great again, I feel like we should say make our families together again. I feel like the family unit as a whole with grandpa, grandma, children, it's kind of eroding.
Yeah, and you're right. I think that's a large part of what drives people into homelessness is a lack of connection, with the people in their life, family members. People are very much feeling isolated and on their own. And so I think that's a big factor. And I think, you know, thankfully, like I said, we had the churches that support us, but we also get grants. We do get some grants from the state and national, but most of that is going toward specific services or to building new units. I will tell you that Titusville has been very supportive. City of Palm Bay has been very supportive. The state's been very supportive. We get a HUD grant every year. It's not large, but it is significant for the program that it runs. But those sources really are very sensitive to political change and political climate. That's why I think it's so important that the community recognizes that the reason for homelessness really is not just affordable housing, although that's a huge part of it, but it really is that lack of community, that lack of connection with each other that drives people into homelessness. Yeah. And to really just come together to support your family.
Right. And a lot of people want, government can't fix everything. They can make laws for us, how, like a person like me, how to not to drive fast on the roadways. They can make laws for homeowners insurance and, you know, Medicaid expansion and things like that. But they can't fix if you and your brother and your sister and your grandpa and grandma is not speaking. You have to find it in your heart to find that forgiveness, find that family support, and reach out to each other and realize that every single day is a new day.
Yep.
And whatever happened yesterday, so be it. We're moving forward. But a lot of people, you know what I find, Drew, and, you know, I've been working in our nation's nursing facilities for over 33 years of my life. I see a lot of broken families.
Yep.
I once had a lady that called me from her car in the parking lot and said, "Is my sister still in the room with my mom?" And I said, "Yes, your mom is in hospice and today's probably her last day." She says, "Well, when she," and she called her a really bad name, "when she leaves the room, can you kindly call me? I'm in my car." I said, "Why can't you come in and say goodbye to your mother together?" She says, "I haven't spoken to that, you know what, in 30 years, and I'm not about to start talking to her." And that broke my heart. So when she did come in, I asked her, why did you and your sister split up? And she says, "Because she stole my mom's trailer." I said, "And you stopped talking to her for that? For how much was it worth? $10,000. So for 30 years, you didn't speak with a relative because, you know, what's happened to our family? I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling that people just stop talking to each other like this.
Yeah, and it's, and that's driving not just family homelessness, homelessness in general, but I see it a lot with the seniors now, that people are facing homelessness in the last few years of their life because they lose connection with their kids, because they lose connection with their other family members. So it is, I think what's happening is that everyone becomes so isolated, they stay in their home, they don't know their neighbors, they, you know, focus on digital media, whatever the case may be. They don't focus on people.
And we've got to get to where we focus on people. Stressing out for the wrong things, you know? So, Ali, you've probably seen this in your community where a lot of the elderly feel isolated.
Yes, and I think that's why they search out a place like Buena Vida where I am, because it's a chance to have others in like situations. And so that makes it difficult a lot. But I see several in there that nobody... they get no visitors, you know, none of their family ever come. So they reach out and try to do things with the rest of, you know, the rest of us, like we have a happy hour on Wednesdays, but,
well,
you know, something to try to keep us as our own little family there, which is helpful.
But, and you know, like when your kids go off to college and they graduate and then they get a job, if they go out of state and they fall in love with somebody out of state, they're going to settle out of state.
Yeah.
And by the time your children are now paying a mortgage and car payment and insurances and everything, some folks really don't have the money to buy a plane ticket and come back to see their relatives. I had a guy once that his mother had died, and I called him in Tennessee to tell him that his mom passed. And he said, "Lady, I don't even have money to buy a plane ticket." So I said to him, "How much would it cost you to come here if you drove? And he said, "I don't know, $70-$80. I said, "I'll send it for you." But think about that for a second. So, you know, there's a problem when these things happen with families. And, Drew, and of course, there's a problem with drug abuse and substance abuse. And I'm sure you see a lot of that as well. People who just can't cope, or their upbringing, or the environment in which they were raised. And we can't be judgmental, right?
No, you can't be judgmental. I do think part of the problem is that we look at homelessness as a singular issue when it is so many different issues. And you mentioned substance abuse and mental health. Those are huge drivers of homelessness, but they're not the only ones. And I think a lot of times people think homelessness and think substance abuse and mental health, you know, it's those people. And first of all, those people, just like you and I, except they have a problem that they can't get past. But second of all, it's not just that particular subset. It's so many people who it's because of domestic violence, or it's because of just plain economics.
Lose the housing job prices.
Yeah, absolutely. Lose a job and suddenly you're finding yourself homeless.
And how many people are living paycheck to paycheck? Because if you miss a couple of 1 month's rent, and then you're behind with the car payment, and then you're behind with a child's tuition, right? It you're in that hole. Then you fall into that black hole. Now, a lot of these folks that you help at the Community of Hope, I always wonder about people's insurance when they get ill. Do they have Medicaid? Do they have some sort of insurance?
Yeah. A lot of the families do, because they have children, and so the children are often covered by Medicaid. I believe it's over 50% of the children are covered by Medicaid, and that usually means the parents are as well, but not always. And the Medicaid providers are actually really working hard to help develop programs that address housing insecurity as well. So we work with some of the Medicaid providers, the HMOs and that kind of thing. So we're working on helping to establish some of those programs in Brevard County, because it is a resource that could help people, but you know.
Would you say there's a lack of shelter in Brevard? Like, even when we have the cold fronts, for somebody who can get on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, you could see that. But if you don't have access to the internet, you don't know where the shelters are.
I will tell you that shelter is almost, I hate to say almost non-existent, but that's pretty much what it is. We have a small shelter program. Genesis House has one. There are other agencies that have, you know, Family Promise does some family sheltering through the churches. There are some shelters available, but it's so small a number that the percentage of people who are able to get into those shelters is very low. And there's no, you know, kind of drop-in shelter that doesn't have wait lists or barriers to get into. So when the police find somebody homeless and really want to get them help, they don't even know where to take them.
Yeah.
So, final
question. What can we do, the folks out here in the public, to ensure that no child, no family, no human being experiences homelessness here in Brevard?
I think the main thing to do is get involved. Get involved. Now, I'm not asking that you get involved with the particular homeless household, although a lot of people do. But volunteer. Find a way that you can help an agency. Find a way that you can donate money to a good cause that you know the money is going to help that person get over their circumstance. A lot of people want to give to folks, and I see people all the time. I almost saw an accident yesterday from somebody who wanted to help the person on the side of the street. And so they pulled over to give them money. And there's nothing wrong with having a heart of giving. But when you do that, you're not necessarily addressing the problem you think you are.
Right.
So I would just really encourage people to
look at the big picture.
Look at the big picture and find
agencies. And the website, because I know you need volunteers. You need, of course, now you have the thrift shop.
Yep, we do have
thrift shop. And, of course, money always helps. So give us a website where someone could look up the Community of Hope.
www.hopeofbrevard.com.
We forgot to ask, any events that we can support the Community of Hope?
Yes, we have our annual gala coming up in November. I believe it's November 15th. We would love to have you all out. We just did our golf tournament a couple month or so ago. But we always have events going on. And if you look at our website and our social media, you stay informed.
Yeah. And there's always projects. I remember doing projects over at the Masterson Street, that some of the housing areas that they have. So if you're a painter or if you're a contractor or if you do those kinds of things, I know they accept
groups to come in. And don't look down on people who are homeless. I mean, if you see somebody sleeping in a parking lot on a bench or something, maybe you could say contact Community of Hope, you know, because there's a stigma still attached to people. And I don't know why. Poverty is not a crime. I don't know if anybody watched that movie, the new Tyler Perry movie, Straw, and it says being poor is expensive.
Life
is expensive. Life is a business. Yeah. Right?
And then being poor keeps you from having the money to get yourself out of being poor, which is kind of ironic.
Or you have to spend so much. Helping your children with generational wealth. You know, we all talk about it, but the truth of the matter is you can't get from point A to point B if you don't have the education and the opportunity to help you to get to that point.
Yep.
It's all.
And sometimes it needs that helping hand to pull you up to the next level.
Yeah.
Well, we will make sure we share all of this on our website, as we always do, and our social medias. We certainly believe in what you're doing, Drew, and thank you so much for sharing all of this with us.
Thank you.
The website is fantastic. You can get a lot of great information, especially the 2025 impact and some of the downloads about what Community of Hope has done for the Hope of Brevard has done for our area. One other really small business area that we wanted to, Kim Coluccio is a good friend of the show, founder of the Matthew Eric Academy, spelled E-R-I-K. They are an academic support center for homeschoolers, and it's a brick and mortar. It's a location where students can spend their day working on their homeschool assignments while working in a classroom space surrounded by their peers. It's run by a certified teacher and several teacher assistants. So parents can make the decision regarding their child's curriculum, assignments, assessment, and schedule. And the academy is open Monday through Thursday from 9:30 to 2:30 p.m., and the students can sign up for whatever days and times fit their schedule. In addition to working on the homeschool assignments, students have plenty of time to socialize and participate in outdoor activities and utilize their free time for extracurricular activities and games. MatthewEricAcademy.com, MatthewEric.com. Again, that's E-R-I-K for more information and services. And we're going to listen to a few more of our sponsors and be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family located in Titusville, Florida. Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000. Or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accountant and a registered.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And what a wonderful first segment we had with our good friend, Mr. Drew Warren from the Community of Hope. Ellen, I like shows like that when we're actually doing stuff that helps our community. Because we have a lot of people that call in from about books and things that they've written.
Here's one of the cool
it's
things.
It's good to do stuff where we our community benefits.
This is something that you're going to love. The Community of Hope Board of Directors decided that each home should have a kitchen table base the family, have that foundational communication space. And I loved reading that on the website. And I remembered it from before. And I was putting in, searching for kitchen table topics, thinking that's what it was under. But it was something that the board of directors feel very important to make sure that every home and every family has a good kitchen table.
Awesome.
So if you have a kitchen table to donate, Now you know the perfect place for it to go.
So our second segment, our first segment was really awesome, speaking with Mr. Drew Warren, the executive director from Community of Hope. And for our listeners who tuned into us, the Community of Hope, it's all about helping families so that people are not homeless. And that's just so wonderful. And our second segment is with a Caribbean sister that I met at one of my events marketing, Dr. Aisha Thomas. She's an MD, and she's a transformative healthcare advocate certified in the American Board of Internal Medicine and in the specialty of internal medicine and subspecialized in infectious diseases as well. Her bio is so extensive that I don't think I could read it all off on air, and she's already on the phone. She's calling us in between patients and clients. So I'm going to have Dr. Thomas talk to us a little bit about what she does and how she got involved in so many things. So, Dr. Thomas, thank you for taking the time to call in and share your work with our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Well, Ms. Sita, it's such a pleasure, and it was so wonderful meeting you because I felt I met a kindred spirit.
Yeah.
So thanks for having me on. It's really a pleasure.
Well, you know what? We're reading your bio here, and we're all in awe of how many things. Number one, do you ever sleep?
Well, that's one of the pillars that I am working on, because in terms of lifestyle medicine, there are six pillars and sleep is one of them, to try to get at least 7 hours of sleep a night.
Yes.
So it's still, that is the one I have a little challenges with, but I'm working on it.
Right. So in addition to your busy, thriving practice, you're also an author. Talk to us here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about the power of lifestyle interventions. And you must have had that aha moment when one day you said, wait a minute, it's not about prescribing a pill for something wrong with somebody's esophagus or their intestines or their abdomen or whatever their GI tract has. But you said, there's something else going on here, and it's you are what you eat.
Exactly. So I did write a book, The Libre Lifestyle, A Transformative Guide for Women to Cultivate Inner and Outer Beauty. Now, why I wrote this book is because I firsthand understood from my own journey that taking control of your health is more critical in terms of how you live. So we try to struggle with so much. There are so many fads, and there are so many things that we're bombarded with, and all these quick fixes. But truly, it's how you live. So I also studied lifestyle medicine, so I'm a diplomat with the Board of Lifestyle Medicine. And what that is, it tries to go into the root cause of the underlying things that cause the issue. So, for example, with nutrition, it's how we eat. It's eating living foods, majority plant-based, not processed foods, avoiding the sugars and things that will heal your gut from the inside. Because as you mentioned, the gut is so important for health. It has 70% of your immune cells. It also has 80% of your serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter. So most people don't realize that their mood swings that they may be suffering from, maybe because their gut is not healthy. And so I think that the important thing is to look at root causes to be able to get to a place of health.
Yeah, and you also, you talk about liberation through education and empowering women with the knowledge about their bodies. Of course, men too, but you know what? I do feel like sometimes certain foods are comfort foods. And I would find, yeah, I could be as feeling like as low as possible in a day, and then I eat some chicken tikka masala and my whole brain lights up. I get energy. I'm like, whoa, what happened? But I think my gut is telling my brain, she loves you.
You know what? There is such a mind-body connection. And when we get to that point where we can truly understand our bodies, that is why I wrote this book almost like a manual. And so I have chapters that span anti-aging, overall health and wellness as to what tests we need to do at certain ages, healthy hormones, a healthy gut, healthy immunity. So when you read the book, there are chapters that you can gravitate to for certain issues. So your body might be craving certain foods, because in your tikka masala, you have your ginger, your turmeric, and all the spices that might be reducing inflammation for you, because inflammation also can start there in the gut.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Like, you know, you look at some of the people, I can't speak for every country in the world, but I know back in Trinidad, we had people who were working in their gardens, planting pigeon peas and taking peas to the market to sell. And those people lived to be way into their 80s and 90s, still walking, no hip replacements, no knee replacements, no cataract surgeries. What accounts for those folks that you know and I know that they're still walking and doing stuff at that age?
Look, Ms. Sita, that is such a great point you brought up. And it's very multi, it has many layers. So first of all, back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, when people were less sedentary, for one. So being sedentary is like the new smoking. That alone gives you a higher risk of cardiovascular disease. So our last past generations were a lot more active. They were in their gardens. They were walking. We were less sedentary at that point. So that's one factor. The next thing, they were in their gardens. They were planting their own food, eating organic foods, and being involved in the cultivation of it. The soil back then was a lot better as well. And now you find that people are indulging in many processed foods, a lot of fast foods. And so you talked about Trinidad, even in St. Lucia and a lot of the Caribbean, unfortunately, chronic diseases have become quite at such a high rate. And it's concomitant things like cardiovascular disease and cancers and other things have really skyrocketed. So that's a second thing. It boils down to eating as well. So there's a movement as medicine. There is food as medicine. And also back then, maybe the culture was less plugged into TikTok and the internet and all of that stuff. And then we had more social connection. So people would, the neighbors would interact better. I remember as a child, if I did something wrong, all the neighbors were involved as well, right? Now you can't speak to someone. You can't talk to someone's child just like that, but back then we had that sense of community. So a lot of those things have changed, which has also contributed to the chronic diseases.
Right. I see Mr. Drew Warren. He's going to jump in here. He is the director of the Community of Hope, a nonprofit here that takes care of homelessness. And he's shaking his head. He's agreeing with you with everything. And I could feel like he wants to jump in.
Go ahead. I just couldn't agree more because, we were just talking about this with homelessness, but this is twice that I've mentioned that what you're talking about in terms of internal medicine kind of echoes what we're seeing in society, where I think you're dealing with the body as an ecosystem, is that whatever, but I think society is still an ecosystem as well, and that, tendency for people to be alone and isolate and not socialize is affecting everything, including homelessness.
Right.
So true, because, breaking things down to the root cause is always where I think we can get a good answer. So when you look at society, if we break it down to maybe the family, which is the building block of society, nuclear families are now the minority. You can hardly find a family for mother, father, the children, and, the basic, building blocks have been eroded. And so that trickles down all the way across. Or I guess it moves up all the way across to society as well.
Right.
And that is how you think of the body, because the cells of your body are crowded out by processed foods, things you cannot pronounce. And so you eat those things, it goes into your cells, it chokes up the mitochondria, it chokes up, your recycled bin in your cells. They don't know what to do. And it hampers your metabolism, et cetera.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about mental health and stress management and how cortisol disrupts every system. Now, I know my husband, of course, I should be doing this, but he doesn't. I'm Hindu. He was born and raised in Iran. He was born in the Islamic faith, but he doesn't practice. He's just a lover of nature. But he meditates every morning, like 30 minutes, and I'm Hindu and I'm supposed to be meditating, and then he comes downstairs and he's so less stressed out and he's so happy, and he says everybody should meditate. But how do we get that done? Because you swear by the meditation and deep breathing and practice. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Oh my goodness, you brought up cortisol, which is one of the things that it's an important hormone, but it's so often it is the basic of inflammation. And so I'm going to tie that in with mindfulness as well as the inflammatory system, okay?
Yeah.
So you have cortisol, which is something that should be released. We have stress. Acute stress is fine. Where you have something happen to your body needs to fight or flight, it can happen immediately and it should peter out and you should go back into a state of relaxation. But often that doesn't happen and your body goes into a fight or flight persistently. So that cortisol is persistently released. Now you're going to have issues with your gut. You're going to have that bloated feeling, the bubbles in the stomach. You will have your skin changing because your skin will thin out or break out. You're going to have your brain affected with brain fog. Your neurotransmitters are not being released properly. You go into excessive stress. And so stress is a killer. Long-term stress is a killer. And to handle it, the thing is, it goes into that mental health component as well. And what happens is when you go into that chronic stress state, your body is literally dying because it's killing itself from the inside. It can lead you into autoimmune diseases. It can lead you into the same inflammation that causes cardiovascular events, heart attacks, and strokes. And so we have to find ways that will minimize or mitigate that issue. One of the things we can do is nature. Nature is something that I so appreciate because that is something that's free. There is just basic things like grounding, like walking on the sand, walking in the grass. That alone can reduce cortisol a significant percent. Another thing would be deep breathing. There's a 4-8-7 rule where you inhale for 4 seconds, hold it for 8 seconds, and release it for 7 seconds.
Well, we're all doing it in the studio right now.
Yes, we're going to do that.
If we drop dead, we'll know we hold on our breath too much.
Eight and out for seven, scientifically proved to reduce your cortisol level. It's something that we can do every, you know, at least every 20 minutes, we should be doing a deep breathing exercise, at least 4 or 5 of those. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You talked about meditation. Brings me to a Bible verse too. I know we all different religions, but it says meditate on God's word. Meditation is important because what it does, it reduces the brain wave activity into a state of peace. Because a lot of faith and faith-based activities cause that peace in your spirit. Because I do believe we are multifunctional beings. We have the spirit, the soul, the body, and all of that. And so changing the brain waves and the frequencies of the cells can occur just by doing the meditation and reducing your heart rate. It helps your gut slow down and just reduces the body's fight or flight response.
Yeah. And that's so you're saying we should trust our bodies, that our body knows what it needs.
The body does. But often our bodies are in such a state of disrepair because of years of neglecting it. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
And so that is why you have to look at, because you see with lifestyle medicine, the thing about it is I try to take people off of meds. We try to get you to the root cause of why you have the issue. And oftentimes the root cause is something that's more or less along the lines of chronic inflammation, if I have to bring it down to the root cause, and also cellular dysfunction. Because the cells are the building block of our body. And like I mentioned, our cells can be choked up with so much poisons and toxins with time, food being one of them.
And the thing is, you know, you're an MD, you're an infectious disease specialist, you're into transformative medicine. And here you're telling us to find joy in physical activity, that there is a loneliness epidemic that affects our health. You're telling us to to take care of our mental health by just doing what God has provided for us, nature, walk, take deep breaths, walk on the sand. And why is it that so many physicians wouldn't take the time to tell us what you are telling us? Because you it's like you go to a doctor's office and they're so busy and you get that prescription and you run to Walgreens with it. But you're actually taking the time to invest in humanity, in us, and I want to say I applaud you for that because it is amazing all the stuff you're doing.
Well, Miss Sita, and I will tell you this. I mean, if you'd ask a physician, why did you go into medicine? And it's to help people. I would say so. People might think you go in it for the money, but that's not the case because going to tech, going to something else, going to crypto, if you want to make money. If people are like me, we are really truly in it to really help. Now, going for the traditional allopathic program, I'll be honest with you, you are going down a path of medications and then learning that there's side effects to medications, learn the side effects, give more medications. And so when I got out of residency and I realized that that is the pathway, I realized it really wasn't me. I'm someone that really wants to know the root cause. And so everything I'm telling you is things I've implemented for myself. Because back maybe 6 years ago, 2017, 2018, I was probably 35 pounds heavier. I was tired. I had the mental stress, the fatigue, the anxiety, and all of the above. So writing this book was for me. And so I want to share that with other women and other people so they can fight. Because I personally do not want to take medicines. When I say movement and medicine, I truly do it myself. I work out daily as much as I can. 20 minutes is all it takes to give you a good workout, improve your cardiovascular health. Because there's science behind each of those things. You have to do 150 minutes of moderate activity a week to reduce your cardiovascular health and reduce inflammation, reduce stress, and all of those.
Yeah,
I personally believe in plant, you know, so I do majority plant-based because I want living food in my body. So I want to eat all the colors of the rainbow because each color in foods is actually a scientific thing that helps. Lycopene can help with, we heard of the prostate issues. There's sulforaphanes in the greens and the broccoli that helps with inflammation, and the garlic, and there's nature spices. All of these are so helpful to the body. So I personally practice those things.
Yeah. And I see you also recommend a Mediterranean plant-based approaches, garlic and onions as a prebiotic, and fermented vegetables, yogurt. There are certain foods that are food triggers, too, that we should eliminate from our diets, right?
Yes. And with food, I'll start here. Take the low-hanging fruit at first. If you can avoid sugar, start with that. Because you want to eat foods in its natural state. Like I would say...
There goes the Father's Day cake in my fridge.
So yes, take the apple. Eat the apple. Try not to eat the apple pie as much as you can, okay? The apple has the fiber. It has all the things in a package that was created by God. That when you eat that, it'll give you the life that you need. Because it'll have the fiber for your gut. It'll have the vitamins. It will have the sugars that you need for your cells to function. You know what I'm saying? Effectively. But you take the apple pie. Now you add in some shortening, some polyglycerate, some other names we can't pronounce.
Yeah.
And that has transformed it into something that's not healthy. You know, and there's a lot of pseudoscience regarding foods. Like you'll see, you'll say something that's marketed as healthy. You'll pick it up, look on the back and see so many things you can't pronounce. Then that's when you can stop and say, if I can pronounce it, my cells probably don't know what that is either. And so it will probably take it and it'll try to actually put on fat to try to store away all these toxins.
You know, and you're amazing. You're amazing in that a lot of us lay term people, and even me being a nurse, we feel like digestion starts in the gut. But what you're saying is digestion starts in the mouth. And you should eat in a stress-free environment. And also you're saying that... not drinking large amounts with meals when a lot of people say you should. So talk to us a little bit about that. Those are like practical gut health tips.
Sure. Yeah, and since you mentioned digestion does begin in the mouth, your saliva, it has certain chemicals and compounds that help to start to digest the food. Now, if you overhydrate during that time, you're drinking and drinking and drinking, you don't even get the saliva to work effectively at that point. Because you start to digest in the mouth, as I mentioned, and so you do. And also, if you drink too much, you're also diluting the gastric acids that you need to digest the food in a safe and healthy way. So yes, I do believe that you should be judicious with drinking. I think yes, you should have enough intake of water throughout the day, but you don't do it necessarily while you're eating the food. I would say if you can do 2 cups, even 15 to 20 minutes before food, guess what will happen? You would eat way less because your body sometimes thinks hunger is thirst. So you might be feeling that you're hungry, but you're actually thirsty. So if an easy way to cut some weight and to cut some calories is just drink a couple of cups of water before your meal. Like I would do it 20 minutes before, so you'd give it enough time for it to work for your system. Your cells will hydrate. Your digestion will be better.
Wow. Interesting. And I think all of us hear this, but a lot of people don't practice. And now we have about 4 minutes left. I wanted to ask you about hormones, because, you know, we've all had those relatives that around their menstrual cycle, they go crazy on us. Their husbands are saying, listen, I'm going to leave. You know, are like, oh, there's a mad woman in the house. Talk to us a little bit about understanding our cycles, because I know that this is something that affects women that then affects their families.
Oh, certainly. Now, that's the thing about our bodies are so amazing that hormonal health starts in the brain. It'll start from the brain and go down to the particular organ, secrete what these little chemical messengers are to go to the end organ to give the outcome. So with hormonal health, you know, women go through those cycles as children. We go from menarche, and then we go from our cycles throughout life, and then go from menopause. And we know that hormones change so many things. It affects our brain, our gut, our skin, our mind, and everything along the way. So that's why you might have those people going through the roid rage and so on. Now, through each of those phases, through the hormones themselves, as well as those phases of life, we need to support it with the same basic principles. We need to have a good blood sugar balance so we don't go through those spikes. We need healthy fat, because there was a time when we were like fat-free, but we were doing ourselves a disservice because we need fat to create those steroids, which are part of the hormones. So healthy fats are so important for hormonal health. And also, hormones can be also affected by what we eat in terms of there are certain plants like flax, like chia seeds, like legumes, even avocados that help to balance the hormones. And there are different herbs as well that were created that also balance the hormones.
Yes.
And so with that being said, hormonal balance is key, but I've realized that every key part of the body can be affected by how we live on a basic level by lifestyle. So that is why I'll also go back to that, where movement is medicine, where we want to get that 150 minutes of exercise, where we try to be plant-based as much as possible, but more than it, eat real food. If you want to eat meat, I would say avoid processed meat at all costs. Processed meat, if you look at WHO, is listed as a carcinogen. Okay, so it actually is something that promotes cancer, just as bad as smoking. So I would say start there, start with the low-hanging fruit. Avoiding stress, learning to manage social connections, having sleep, at least 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night, as much as we can do it. All of these things would be how we live to affect whether the hormones, whether the gut, the brain. So I just want us to go down to the root cause of how to affect all of those systems.
So Dr. Aisha Thomas, my goodness, I feel like I could have you on for 2 hours on this program. There's so much good stuff in your work and, you know, what, and your book as well. So give us your website where we can buy your book. And if someone wanted to book a segment at your practice, give us that website as well.
Oh, sure. So you can go to www.thelibrelifestyle.com. There you'll find the book. You'll find also an accompanying journal that you can help to document your progress, because we're all on this journey together. There you can also book consultations with me, and you can find information on the practice. And okay. So I'm very, very grateful and happy to be here. And it's something I'm so passionate about, and it's something that I'm living myself.
Yeah, and it comes through loud and clear, your passion for leaving such a great legacy behind to help us humans. And I noticed, but we still have a couple of seconds really quick. You also said that cold showers and ice baths are good for hormonic stress. And you also said that heat shock proteins are also like a detoxification.
Right. So that is something that's interesting. That was found to also help to reduce cancer cells. Taking hot and cold showers, it releases certain chemicals in your body that help you to fight cancer cells as well as improves your immunity. So that is something that's a basic. I'll tell you what, so many things are free if we only have the knowledge that we can implement.
Yeah. Well, you know, now that explains why all the people in the Caribbean bathed with a barrel and a bucket and a cup with cold rainwater, and they're still alive and well.
Exactly. We didn't know how good it was for us at the time.
Yes. So basically what you are telling my listeners here on Viewpoint with on Seed and Friends, that food is medicine.
Absolutely. It certainly is. Food is definitely medicine. Hippocrates, who was back in so many centuries ago, knows that. It's just that we've gone so far away as a society from the basic things that help us to live better. So that is what I would like to leave us with, which is take charge of our own health. Your body has, we need a manual, and that is what this book is for women, a manual to help us to just know our bodies on a detailed level and how to live in a way to improve our vitality and our health.
Well, we have captured all of this, and we'll make sure that all of our listeners have access to it and has ways to contact you and get copies of your book as well. It's an amazing, amazing conversation. Drew Warren, thank you so much for joining us again today and telling us a little bit about more about our community and how we can help. Folks, it's really just about little changes, right? And little ways to volunteer to make our life.